Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
If we look at our world, we look at different industries, we look at all the change and everything that's happening right now, I think in some respects, we are in a leadership crisis. At the end of the day, I think business is a vehicle to not only create value, but to actually dignify people and love people and actually introduce positive change into the world. And that starts with leadership.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranbi, aka CrowdPaw, and welcome to CrowdPaw Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're just listening to this episode, you can also watch it on YouTube. Regardless, if you're listening or watching this episode, really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Ryan Richterink on the show. He's the CEO of WorkGaze, an insights platform helping job seekers discover more meaningful careers, build transferable skills that matter, and build a personalized path to a dream job. So that's just one of the things you do, Ryan, but tell the audience more about you.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on here, Paul. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Ryan Richterink, I'm also the founder of a company called Leaders Ops, where we do leadership training to look at how to build more value between employers and employees across the employee lifecycle. So we're innovating in terms of how we can build employee experience and really dignify people with greater value as well as the organization. So.
This is awesome. Well, this is CrowdPaw Leadership. Love all things leadership. So kind of walk me through starting that organization. What was the inspiration? Why start an organization like that?
Yeah, so it started, my journey started actually in redefining my own leadership around what do I want my life to look like? So it started really around an investigation around personal purpose, and then it moved into organizational purpose. And how do we got really curious with one foot in a business world, working with executive leadership, and one foot guest lecturing in a couple different business colleges about how do we transform culture to really dignify people with greater value, and how do we create just what are the structures and everything that's needed to really transform a culture to be really high performing in a place that people really want to work. So,
wow, transforming an entire culture. That seems like a lot of work.
Well, it's definitely something that's cultivated, not just, you don't just flip a switch, that's for sure. So,
yeah, definitely cultivated. And I think that's a key thing with leadership. So talking with people is that the leaders at the top really set the tone for the culture by what they do and what's also what they don't do, but I think that's not often talked about. So like all the stuff you're doing with the culture stuff, what's the first place for leaders to start when they're talking about trying to transform a culture or foster a culture?
Yeah, so the challenging part is the place to start's probably in the mirror for all of us, right? So we actually create the culture around us that we have within us to a certain degree, either by design or by default. We all carry a culture and interact and have relationships and communicate certain ways. And so we actually are a major contributor and factor in the culture that we have around us. And so one of the challenging things, and it starts with me, as any leader, is what is the culture that I'm creating before I really look at other people in terms of what their influence and input is on that. And so that's That's a kind of a sobering, but a very real, that is the reality of culture and organizations and leadership, right? It starts with responsibility, with me. So.
Yeah. Starting with self-reflection, starting with yourself as a leader. That's really key thing. It is sobering, but I think it's important to note, because I think it sometimes as leaders, because we're like, oh, we're supposed to be at the top, we're supposed to be doing all these things, we want to look to everyone else as the issue. But you're really talking about how important it is that you look at yourself first and what culture you're setting a tone for.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that if we want people to accept responsibility and greater responsibility, which is an instrumental part of leadership, then we need to first do that ourselves, right? And as the adage goes, we can only influence that of which we're willing to take responsibility for. And so I think really the first step is to take responsibility for the culture we have, whether we like that or whether we don't. And so that's a really healthy starting point for starting to make changes. So
that's a good point. So I'm curious, when you're working with these leaders trying to change culture, what you've seen, is this something that they wanted, or was something that more thrust upon them that they need to make a change?
Yeah, so I think I don't think anybody responds well to outside forces, you know, trying to compliance is not a great way to shift a culture, right? It's outside motivation of anybody. It's just human nature is probably not going to be lasting or be the type of authentic sort of reflection and change. And so it really needs to start with a leader themselves saying, you know what, I see the opportunity here to make improvements and changes. And I want to, even from the standpoint of, I want to enjoy my business and the people and the interactions that I have at a greater level. And so it's not always that it's a toxic working culture, work environment. It could be, you know, just an average normal one. And we just want a really great thriving culture. So it's not necessarily such a negative starting point. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know that it's not, you're not just working with the people who are on the far end of the extreme on the negative. It's more so in the middle.
Yeah, but there are cases where there's a change in leadership, right? Where there's people inherit a certain culture and then they are, you know, tasked with making changes. And so that's every situation is a little different, but that's certainly where you have an opportunity as a leader to come in and bring your influence to bear on something that maybe you didn't create, but now that you're responsible for. So,
yeah, I can only imagine like when you are walking into something that was not yours to begin with, and it kind of can feel like you're cleaning up a mess that wasn't yours at times.
Yeah.
So I guess when you're working with these different leaders or organizations, is it more so like more transitions or people who just maybe had an epiphany and they want to make a change? Or I guess, who are the people typically coming to your organization for help in transforming a culture?
You know, it's people who typically have a growth mindset and they, you know, are, you know, it's not the ones that probably need it the worst don't actually seek it out, right? So the people who I get to work with are normally fantastic, great people that are looking for the right tools and the right, you know, it's not like major things, it's a whole bunch of small things that make big impact that and so it's people who are either in transition. There's been cases where there's been like key employees that have been lost in terms of leadership, and now there's sort of a resetting and a retooling. There's been a change of leadership where somebody has had to come over and sort of take over the example I just gave for a culture that they didn't create, but now they really want to shift and make it into a thriving, healthy culture. And there are just people who are in the midst of growth pains where they're tasked with scaling a company and how do you scale a healthy culture along with that? So there's a number of scenarios, but the leaders who seek out coaching to build a good culture are already of the mindset that they know what they want, and they're just looking for how do I get there without stepping in any potholes, hopefully, and how do I get there as efficiently and as effectively as possible. So,
yeah, definitely want to watch out for those potholes. They can pop up when you least expect them. No. I mean, just kind of random funny thing. They're just being in Nashville and the way the roads are, and after the winter happens, there's potholes just pop up, and you do not want to get your car in that.
Well, if you think they're bad in Nashville, you should come up to Michigan. Roads are known to be filled with potholes, which is it's funny I said that because it's not something I normally say as in my vocabulary, but it's probably because they are popping up all over right now with the freezing and thawing and all that.
Oh.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
I can definitely understand that for sure.
Well,
so I know we've been talking a little bit about the people you help, but I guess, are there specific type of businesses or organizations that you work with, or is it kind of across the board?
Yeah, it's been pretty across the board. I've had a career where I've worked across four different industries, so bulk of which has been in healthcare, but I've worked with call centers, landscaping, medical. I've worked with kind of a variety of different businesses. And really, culture is there's culture in every industry, right? So it's not, and what we do is all human-centered design, so it's not necessarily industry-specific as well. So, yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That's good. So, yeah, you kind of talked through some of the different industries that you've worked in. I'm curious, like you're where you are right now, but how did you get to be this leadership expert? You kind of talked me back however long it was going through those different industries to where you are right now.
Yeah, so I started with a case study with a call center, and that's where I really kind of cut my teeth on organizational culture and transformation and studying what are the key paradigm shifts that can really shift the culture. And some of those are even some counterintuitive adjustments in how we approach work and how we approach the relationship with people. That led into creating a coaching program that been running for like the last year or so. And that led into creating the platform WorkGaze because of the insights that can be leveraged for that is really what we're building that platform for. So,
okay. So the insights from WorkGaze, is it more so, I know it talks a lot about our careers, but then is it beyond that as far as just upskilling as an associate or employee?
Yeah. So one of the things that, one of the paradigm shifts that came out of the case study was that we historically, traditionally, we recruit based on the past and we manage the present when we can, and actually it's better to build a shared future with our employees. That's actually what the employer wants. That's what the employee wants, but we don't actually have a great deal of data of how do we build really meaningful connection and shared journey in somebody's career. And so you know, most of the hiring and recruiting systems that are built today, the legacy systems are based off of resumes and keyword parsing. And it's basically all through a paradigm of a past present paradigm on what qualifications do you have from however many years back to today. And so what we're building is moving forward in the other half of the equation is saying, you know, who are you by design? What do you enjoy in terms of ideal work experience, and who do you want to become in terms of your career? And so we're adding those three types of insights into the hiring and recruiting space so that it's really what it is it's built on the science of meaningful work that is backed by academia. But we're building those insights in a really it's really designed to help people find not just meaningful work, but to thrive in work and in their career and in life. And with the hopes that the more people that find things that they love and are good at, that serves both the individual and the organization at a higher level. And hopefully we can build, contribute in some small way to improving society. So,
yeah, improving society is definitely key. And then you said thrive, and I feel like I've been saying all year because it rhymes. 2025 is a year to thrive.
Right.
And I think it just comes with being intentional about things. And I was having a conversation the other day about a lot of times we just go through life just letting life happen to us instead of being intentional. It sounds like a lot of the work you're doing is very intentional to make sure that people have meaningful careers, meaningful lives. Did that come, has that always been really important to you? Or was there a moment that kind of clicked that you made you want to start something like this?
Yeah, so I grew up, my father always said repeatedly growing up, like, find what you love to do and you never work a day in your life. And so that has just been a mantra that I grew up with. But then as a father of four entering, four kids, two boys, two girls, they're entering the workforce now. It's been a long-term initiative, if you want to call it that, of helping them discover their talents and their skills and what they enjoy, and really helping guide them over the years. But then that's also been something I've done in training and development in the corporate world. And so this has been sort of a running theme throughout my career that now is just sort of, it's taken on sort of a new initiative in terms of discovering that some of these insights that can serve people and serve companies at a higher level haven't existed before. So that's what we're trying to introduce to the world. So it's essentially WorkAIDS is a platform for job search and recruiting based on the science of meaningful work. But it's really how do we find stuff that doesn't just pay the bills, but actually is something that we enjoy and are good at and actually serves a future we want to build towards. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been very interesting, trying to figure out exactly what to call it and how to describe it, something new. It's always a challenge, but it's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, no, I'm curious. You said like what to call it and how to describe. I guess what were some of the names you had before trying to figure out before you landed on WorkAIDS?
Yeah, so I guess we've had WorkAIDS as a brand name for a while, but it was more like, what do you call it in terms of like, is it a job board? Is it a career path platform? Is it an insights platform? Is it talent analytics? Is it we've gone through, I mean, even called like a shared purpose platform or like we've been playing with language to try and figure out like what accurately to call it and describe it. So, because it kind of touches on a lot of those things. So
yeah, it sounds like it touches on a lot of different aspects of the process. But at least from my understanding, the goal is to make sure that people are placed into meaningful careers. Because when it comes down to it, our careers affect our life. Our life affects our careers. So it's better if they are better intertwined.
Yeah, absolutely. A greater alignment, it serves everybody's best interests. So.
For sure. So I guess, how does the platform work? Like, what is the process? Is it like more, I'll just leave it there. Like, what is the process? How does it work?
From a job seeker side, you go in and you put in your dream job and it's going to immediately start finding jobs with personalized data customized to you. And so it's going to not just look for existing work, but it's actually going to show you how that work can serve a future career path for you specifically in terms of what you're interested in. So we're adding that personalized insight, and it's, you can think of it as kind of like a an Indeed personalized Indeed 2.0, but with this meaningful work data. So we've got three types of data that we have. We've got career growth data, career growth fit, motivation fit, and team fit. And so it's the idea is find both places and types of work that that you enjoy and you and serve your future and not just find a job but build a career.
Yeah, definitely not just find a job, build a career. I think that's really important because it's really easy to just find something to pay the bills or find something to get by, but it's a lot harder to find something that you feel like you can grow and develop and grow and just continue growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's designed to hopefully be able to take to your employer as well if they're open to that and give a blueprint of which serves both the job as well as where you want to build towards. And so it makes it sort of the easy button for employers as well in terms of being able to work and develop their people in meaningful ways. So that's sort of the recruiting side is the same types of data and insights with personalized career path data and really all building around the individual and dynamics so it can change in real time. If you change your mind on your career, it'll automatically recalculate and build in a new direction. So,
okay. Yeah. So this could potentially be used for maybe succession planning, you think, within companies?
Yeah, I think it could be. It's an interesting one. I've not had somebody bring that one up, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely for building internal capacity. Internal promotion and talent mobility kind of stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. So succession planning, I tend to think as like senior leadership kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it could definitely have a fit there. So.
Oh, that's really good. So I'm trying to understand a little bit more. Maybe I'm getting too much in the details. I'm sorry to nerd out a little bit on this. So bear with me for all of those listening. Maybe these aren't the questions you want answered, but I'm going to maybe be a little bit selfish with
the question. I wasn't planning on talking about this so much, so.
But yeah, so I guess with the way the platform is built, is it just do you have a database, a lot of different careers, or is it pulling from just the internet? Or I guess, how does it know, or how are you pulling all that stuff in?
Yeah, so we have some proprietary data sets that are very well studied, and we've built some machine learning algorithms, and we're doing basically data comparison with those algorithms to build out what are the transferable skills, knowledge, and abilities between different careers. So that's how the matching happens on the particular growth fit. On the other stuff, we're on the team fit. We've got also data sets that we're leveraging, and we've got some analytics that's built on that. And then we actually developed the ideal work experience assay, so that you can get better granularity in terms of what is valuable to each person in the work itself. So people work and enjoy different aspects of work. And have different things that are actually valuable to them of why they work. And so this is, you've probably had those one size fits all recognition programs that companies have done, right? And a lot of wasted time and energy on some of that stuff where, whatever. Well, this essentially gives you that kind of insights, but on a personalized basis. So you can recognize and show up as a manager and sort of flex your style a little bit to the individual so that it feels like a more natural fit and it's actually more valuable to each person. So,
yeah, no, I think that's really important, especially for leaders to use, because what I run into talking or working with different leaders is when leaders try to just have a blanket approach for everyone, the one size fit all does not work. Because either you're overbearing on some people or you're not giving enough attention to other people.
Absolutely. And
that's why leadership is so hard, because you can't just treat everyone the same way because everyone is different.
Yes. Yeah, and we've all had that one manager that just had that intuition, right? That they were just, they just excelled in that. And so we're basically trying to build some of the science that some of the best managers sort of figure out through intuition. So
yeah, building an intuition. I like that.
So
that's really good. So I know I got way into the weeds there for some of the technical stuff with work days and with leadership. So this is Incredible Leadership. So I'm always curious about what makes you so passionate about leadership?
Well, it starts with leadership. You know, I think we've got, okay, so this is a very multifaceted answer.
Yeah,
there's a lot in that question, quite honestly. So
yeah,
if we look at our world, we look at different industries, we look at all the change and everything that's happening right now, I think in some respects we are in a leadership crisis where we have industries that aren't serving people at the level that they could. And it really, most of this stuff boils down to leadership. It boils down to, you know, who has their hand on the wheel really sets the tone, makes the decisions. And, you know, I've been a part of trying to shift a culture within an organization that didn't have buy-in at the top. And it's pretty much wasted effort. You can build a subculture, but you're never going to change the direction of the organization unless the senior leadership buys in. And so all of the change and the impact and the improvement that I want to see both in industry and in organizations in terms of people experiencing really being valued as people, and not just as a means to an end in terms of their work, all that really starts and ends with leadership. And so I'm really passionate about leadership because I look at my own kids, I look at the next generation and the generation after that. And I think, okay, what kind of world do we want to leave them? And what do we want them to encounter in the workplace? Do we want them to be treated like a number or a widget or a cog in a wheel? Or do we want them to actually be recognized with who they are in all of their talent and brilliance and actually be cultivated to play a role and to create something even more valuable, both for themselves and the company? And so I'm passionate because I think we have a massive amount of value in people, and it's so much of our youth is wasted on even like entry-level jobs where they're just doing tasks, and all of that work could actually be serving building transferable skills to something that's meaningful to the individual. And some companies are great at that, and some, you know, quite honestly, you know, there's some room for improvement there. And so I'm past it from a generational standpoint, but I'm also passionate because I personally, as well as many people I know, have actually been really negatively affected by toxic work environments and bad cultures. I know a number of people who have left companies and even taken a pay cut to go someplace else where they were treated well. And so that's all of what we're talking about. And obviously I'm preaching to the choir in some respects here, right? It's, you know, you're all about leadership. So I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but that's why I'm passionate about it, because at the end of the day, I think business is a vehicle to not only create value, but to actually dignify people and love people and actually introduce positive change into the world. And that starts with leadership.
Wow. Yes. No, I definitely agree with that. The passion for leadership, and then what you said about dignify and then loving people as well, because I think that's not often talked about in leadership or in organizations, is loving people. When people, because like you talked about it with these entry level tasks, or we go in entry level career, it's focused on the task. When a lot of times you don't have to focus on the tasks, because yes, there's some things you want to get done, but you just give overall, like, this is what needs to get done. How you go about doing it is really up to you to figure it out as a leader, or maybe there's better ways to do it, or maybe there's things we shouldn't even be doing anymore because they don't make sense to do. So I think it's really important what you mentioned, the generational aspect of it, as well as what you mentioned, that people leave jobs because of poor leadership or less than stellar leadership. I know that has been the case for me in the past. So say that I'm on my fifth company out of college and just over 30 years old for a reason, just for having to transition. And I learned early on that that was something I was passionate about. And then sometimes I have to either go into a different role or end up leaving a company because it just doesn't align with where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we, so much of leadership, we want our employees to show up with excellence and care for end customers. And I think the best way to actually produce that in an organization is what I call middle customers, our employees. If we treated our middle customers, our employees, with that same level of excellence and care, we would actually model what we want them to turn around and offer to our customers. And that's the differentiator between companies. Like, there's not too many things, products or services on the market that people don't have choice about, right? If there's something of value, it's marketable, there's probably competition in it. And what's the difference? The difference is usually, you know, degrees of difference, and the people that show up that make the service or the product and the experience of excellence. And I mean, you can just tell when people care versus if they're just punching a clock, right?
Very true. There's a quote I really like from John Maxwell that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I mean, that goes along with what you're saying about loving people and dignifying them, is that even if some your leader is not telling you they care about you, you can feel whether they care about you by the way they go about different things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And conversely, if they say they care, but it's not backed up and actually walked out, then, you know, that's a net negative a lot of times. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know we talked about culture a little bit. Are there any, I think that's the main thing, but when you're talking about working with leaders, is there any other things that you work on with them a lot besides the culture piece? So that is a huge piece. I want to know if there's any other things you focus on.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100 small things, right? So when we talk about culture, culture isn't like one thing. It's all the micro interactions, and so it's literally when we re-engineer the employee experience, it's not just one thing. It's looking at all of the cumulative small things that have an impact, and how do we show up in ways that can deliver more value? How do we create value and reduce cost and give line of sight to from employees to what's meaningful to the company, and the company leadership line of sight to what's meaningful to the people or the employees? And so when we can show up and understand what creates value and reduces costs of either on the employee ledger or in the experience of the individual, that there's a law of reciprocity there, right? Where the more value we're receiving and people are looking out for, our voice is being heard, and we're actually building, people are building into us and our future, like it's just natural to want to do the same thing to help the company out, because we're in it together, right? And so it's all those things that come together cumulatively that we call culture, but the underpinnings of how to create that is not one thing. It's 100 small things. So
yeah, it's 100 small things, and if you're doing a couple of those things poorly, it shows up.
Yes, some more than others, for sure.
Yeah, some more than others.
Well,
no, that's good. Well, I'm curious, is there anything about you or work days that you want the listeners to know as we kind of wrap things up?
You know, we're launching the job seeker side. And so if you're currently looking for work, you can go there right now and sign up. We've got a pretty robust free offering for job seekers, and would love to have you sign up and join the wait list so you can be some of the early adopters on that. And if you're currently an employer and you're interested in either finding talent that is more engaged and sticks around in terms of good retention, or even just building this culture of more meaningful work experience for your employees, then I would love, we're actively starting to build. It's already designed, but we are actively getting input on that. And so would love to connect with, if you're a hiring manager or an owner or a talent acquisition professional or HR and are interested in that space, would love to connect and get your input on what we're building, because our goal is to build something that is really powerful and really easy to use and intuitive. And that comes from getting input from lots of people. So would love to throw that sort of blanket invite out. Please feel free to reach out. So.
No, that would be good. I know a lot of my audience is more on the young professional side, so I'm sure everyone wants a job that they find meaning in. So definitely this is a place to do that, especially with the offering you have. So I want to make sure people know how to get that offering as well as stay connected with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to workgaze.com. It's just exactly how it sounds, workgaze.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well. I think I'm the only Ryan Richterink on the planet. So feel free to reach out and ping me there. So,
yeah, you're the only Ryan Richterink. I'm the only Paul Ferranby. I know we were talking about our last names being commonly mispronounced, so we have that similarity there as well.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you so much for having me on. It's been a ton of fun talking to you, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun talking to you, just learning about your passion in leadership and what you bring with this organization, as well as what you do with working on building cultures as well. I think that's really critical. It's like we talk a lot about the intentionality piece and like a lot of different things that come into the culture piece. And I think for anyone listening, a key thing for this is just really, like we talked about, the meaningful work, and definitely stay connected with Ryan about that. But I think as you are, maybe you're earlier on in your career, maybe like more like a shift manager, maybe you don't have a specific leadership role yet, I think the key thing that you mentioned at the beginning is to do the self-reflection and look in the mirror and say, like, what am I bringing to the table before you start pointing fingers at everyone else? Because I've heard it said that you point a finger out, there's like three pointing back at you. So just make sure that you're not contributing to the problem that you once solved.
Yeah, it's so true. It's and creating a culture of honest feedback versus just, you know, platitudes of, oh yeah, everything's great, right? We cultivate the type of feedback that we give permission to people to give us. And so that's something I'm really proactive at, because I really want honest feedback. But it's not every leader does that, and people typically need permission and encouragement to do that. Because it takes courage to say honest things to your leaders that you report to. So,
yeah, we could get into a whole conversation about honest feedback, because people think they want to hear honest feedback, but they only want to hear it if it's good. When it's bad, they're like, that's not real. Like, no, I don't do that. I'm like, well, maybe you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, and then there's the how it's communicated, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can go on and on, but it's been incredible having you on the show. And yeah, for everyone listening, I know I geeked out a little bit in the middle of it, so bear with me there. I hope you were able to just learn about what Ryan is doing with WorkGaze. His passion on leadership is really evident, definitely resonated with me. And so like we talked about with the culture piece, just being really intentional, looking at the little things, make sure you're self-reflecting. Those are key ways that you can truly be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incrediblepaul.org/merch, incrediblepaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.